Eaton County voters have chosen a different state representative in four straight elections. Rick Jones won his last House term in 2008. Fellow Republican Deb Shaughnessy won in 2010. She lost her re-election bid in 2012 to Democrat Teresa Abbott. And a few weeks ago, Abbott lost her shot at another term to Republican Tom Barrett of Potterville. Current state Scott Pohl talked with Barrett this week about his life, his campaign, and his plans for the future. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Mark. Tom Barrett is a young newcomer to the political scene. He's 33 years old, and as you'll hear, he had to take some time off from his state of Michigan job to run his campaign. Barrett's work background is primarily military.
Joined the Army right when I graduated from high school. Spent 2 years on active duty first. A year and a half of that was spent over in South Korea. Then while I was in South Korea, September 11th happened. I decided to stay in the military. I transferred into the National Guard, where I've been since that time. I've done a mix of active duty and part-time National Guard service while I pursued my college education. Was deployed a couple of times, once to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and once to Iraq as a squad leader over there. And then when I came home from Iraq, I had the opportunity to go to flight school in the Army and spent about 2 years down in Fort Rucker, Alabama, learning to fly Black Hawk helicopters down at Fort Rucker.
And your current position with the state of Michigan?
I'm an analyst with the State Department of Treasury, and I was serving on the board of the Michigan Land Bank for the state treasurer. I had taken a leave of absence from both of those positions in order to pursue my campaign for state representative.
Tell me about the main issues that were of concern to you when you were deciding to run. What sorts of things had you chosen to work on?
Well, really, I wanted to be someone who listens to the people in our district. We have a very diverse group of people who live in Eaton County. We have agriculture, we have state employees, we have small business owners, we have military members. And veterans issues were one of the things that I wanted to highlight with folks as I went door to door and brought up some of my qualifications. I believe I am the only Iraq War veteran now to be serving in the entire State House of Representatives next year. I think that gives me a unique perspective on things. In Michigan right now, we have the second highest veteran unemployment rate in the entire country. And a lot of folks don't realize that. That might be something of interest to your listeners as well, especially just having celebrated Veterans Day, that I think we need to do a little bit more work toward engaging our veteran population and finding ways in which we can help them return to work.
How do you go about doing that? Is being assigned to certain committees one way that a freshman representative gets involved in an issue like that?
Certainly. I've asked to serve on the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. It's something that I think I have a unique background to do. Certainly, we have other veterans in our state legislature, but I think my generation of veterans coming home from Iraq, we are underrepresented in Lansing right now, and it's something that I hope to address, and it's a big part of why I ran for office. I've got many friends of mine, peers, in fact, who've come home from Iraq or Afghanistan and can't find a job back here in Michigan. So it prompts them to volunteer to go back overseas, which has a very detrimental effect on their family, their children, their spouse, their community. If they then come back home and try to find a job a second or third time after being deployed in rapid sequence, it makes it that much harder every single time they come home.
I'd like you to expand on the interest you might have in education issues, because it was a big issue in the campaign. Probably your most prominent advertisement during the campaign criticized Teresa Abbott for voting present on education issues. Do you have an interest in pursuing education issues at the Capitol, and if so, which ones?
Certainly. I think education is fundamentally important. You can't have a thriving economy and a successful state without education. I mean, that's something that all sides of the political argument agree on, is that we need education. How we go about having great education is what's up for debate. I made the commitment to people in this election, to the residents of Eaton County and the folks that I hope to earn trust in, and going forward earning greater trust with, is that I'm not going to show up and just vote present. I'm going to fully participate in the process. I want to be someone who, helps to address some of the issues regarding education, because it is so important. I've got two young children of my own. I want to see them have the absolute best education possible, because I know it's going to be something that will set them up for success later in life.
Representative Kevin Cotter has been chosen to serve as Speaker of the House in the coming session. How well have you gotten acquainted with him? What can you tell us about working with him in the Republican caucus in the House?
Certainly. Well, Kevin is a friend. He was one of my early supporters and someone that I looked to for advice as I was deciding to run for office. And I'm fortunate that we have a lot of great members serving in our caucus throughout our leadership team, many of whom are friends of mine that I'm looking really anxiously forward to working with in the coming term.
There's lots of criticism of government in general that Democrats and Republicans don't work together, maybe don't even want to work together anymore at times. Can you talk about your approach to working across the aisle when you think that is called for? How are you going to approach that?
Sure. Well, I mean, I represent a district that's very evenly divided 50-50 between Republicans and Democrats. I mean, my own race is an example of the divided nature that we have. And I want to earn trust within my own district and within our not just our Republican caucus, but in the State House of Representatives as a whole. So I'm very interested in working across the aisle. You know, I was willing to criticize Republican initiatives when I didn't agree with them, the pension tax being one example that I thought was not a good idea to pursue and something that I hope we can work toward repealing.
I want to ask you about some of the issues that are before lawmakers now during the lame duck session. I realize you're not in office yet, don't really have any say in them at this point, but you might still have some observations that will be of interest. So let's talk about a few of those. First of all, I want to ask you about road funding and the approach that is currently being considered in Lansing for raising more money to improve the condition of our roads.
Yeah, I know that the state Senate passed a gas tax increase, and as I walked my district and listened to folks at their door, a lot of senior citizens, those on fixed incomes and the working poor, they told me that they couldn't afford a gas tax increase. I mean, we have somewhat gas prices right now, but I think that assessing a tax on that is not going to be capped, I have some concerns with that, and the people that I spoke to at their door encouraged me to not support a gas tax increase, and I made that commitment that I wouldn't do it. Now, like you said, I'm not on the clock right now to have a voice in that debate at this point, but I don't think that a gas tax increase is the way to go for our road funding solution. We have a lot of areas in which I think we could recommit funding in the current state budget. We have a $53 billion state budget right now, and as I walked my district door to door and listened to folks, they said, look, with $53 billion, I think we could find a way to address our roads, have good schools, have good public safety, have good education, and not have to sacrifice any one of those priorities with the funding we currently have at the state level.
If reallocating funds would be your approach, you must have given some thought to where there's wiggle room to do that. Do you have some ideas about that?
Absolutely. One of the first areas that I pointed to is our Hollywood film credit subsidies. I consider that to be a waste of government money because I don't think government should be in the position to pick winners and losers in different industries. Right now in Michigan, we give away tens of millions of dollars in that program, and it's led to bad public policy decisions at the local level. We have a local unit of government that purchased a film studio anticipating that there was going to be this windfall of Hollywood film investment in Michigan. And when those film credits were adjusted, the studio went bankrupt. The city almost went into bankruptcy, had an emergency manager appointed, and it was a terrible debacle. We could fill almost 5 million potholes with the amount of money we spend on film credit subsidies every single year. And that accrued rate has reached the hundreds of millions of dollars. And I would like to see that money as a good first step put into fixing our roads before we look at raising gas taxes on the hardworking people of Michigan.
To clarify, are you saying you don't think we need to raise any additional funds to pay for road repairs?
I'm saying that I want to look first and foremost at using existing revenue. You know, certainly we're going to have revenue estimates that come in and tell us how much money we can spend in our current budget, but I want to prioritize road funding, saying we need to fund the roads first and foremost. Roads, schools, bridges, infrastructure, public safety, the things that are core functions of government before we start funding other areas. Because when we run out of money at the end and tell people we need to raise their taxes to fix the roads, I think we should have spent that money on the roads first before we start raising people's taxes later on.
One of the issues being debated right now is adding lesbian, gay, and bisexual populations to the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act. Under consideration right now is leaving transgender people out of that consideration, which there's resistance to in the LGBT community. Have you reached any conclusions in your own mind about how that should be approached?
Well, I've been very upfront with people saying that I believe in a merit-based economy. I think people should be hired and fired based on their merit, but I don't support things that erode away people's religious liberties, something I've consistently believed in. I don't like to see in other states, for example, when similar laws have been passed, the effect that they've had on individual people who don't want to participate in something of a same-sex wedding ceremony, for example, or something of that sort. I think people should have the freedom to not participate in things of that regard. Now, this current proposal before the legislature could be amended. I know Democrats are uncomfortable with parts of it. Republicans are uncomfortable with parts of it. Frankly, other than the two or three people who've come out and voiced support for it, I don't know who is 100% satisfied with the current proposal. So I'll be interested to see what does or doesn't happen before the clock runs out on this lame duck session.
Do you think Michigan should change the winner-take-all electoral college system?
Well, you know, I think that there's a lot of debate going on about that. I haven't been particularly informed of all the back and forth. In fact, I just read today or yesterday about some of the revised proposals going forward, whether or not that has an equal protection claim, if your vote can be parceled up based on percentage of the vote and things like that. So I think there's a lot of things to be worked through before I could take a firm position one way or another.
We're talking with Representative-elect Tom Barrett, who will represent Eaton County when the new session begins in January. Could you go into some detail about this transitory period where new representatives are being trained, so to speak, on how to function as representatives? What's this time like for an incoming representative?
Well, it's very fast moving. The day after the election, I'd had about 2 hours of sleep because our returns came in so late. We had a freshman dinner that we were invited to attend. The day after that, we had our leadership election, so that's less than 48 hours after the votes had been counted. Then we had orientation this week within our respective, the House of Representatives and the Senate had their respective orientations, and they taught us a few of the things we needed to know, got us enrolled in benefits packages and things like that, and told us, about how we can go about hiring staff, what our office will look like, and things of that sort. So it's a lot to kind of unravel and take in. They've already asked us to begin to think about bills we would like to introduce and things that we would like to see as a priority, committees we'd like to serve on, and things like that. So it's a very busy time for somebody coming in my position, but something that I'm excited about and grateful to have the opportunity to do.
Have you hired staff?
I've not officially hired staff yet. I have an idea of who I'm likely to hire, but out of respect for them, I'm not going to say because they haven't had the final word yet.
Tom Barrett will represent Eaton County in the State House of Representatives starting in January. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you to your listeners.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.